If there are any visitors with us, I would like to apologize right up front. You may have heard of the first and second string. I am the 422nd string, and that's just in this body, okay? So I apologize, but I truly appreciate your time and the attention you've given me so far. Don't know where that's going to go. I'm honored, extremely honored, to have been asked to give this message today. There's many, many people that I'm sure are much more worthy to give this message and much more prepared and much more adequate than I am. But I appreciate what God has put on my heart and the word that he's given to me today to share with you. I received a text message from Pastor Al last week. Now keep in mind where he is. He's in Honduras. And he sent me a text message. And it was a quote from President Calvin Coolidge. And he said, "A nation which forgets its defenders will itself be forgotten." I keep asking Pastor Al if maybe he just had a lapse in memory of his service time. And he keeps telling me, no, he was never in the military. Pastor Al is one of the most profound patriots I know. Amen. And he's a dear, dear friend. Middle of Honduras, he sends me a text message, a word of encouragement for me for today. I'd like to open in prayer, if you would, bow your heads. Father, I thank you. I give you all the honor and the glory. I count it privilege and an honor to be standing here in front of your people. I thank you for their attention. I thank you for their time. I thank you that they've chosen to come here today. I will count their time precious. And Lord, I pray that anything that proceeds from my mouth, anything that you put in my mind, is only there to glorify you. Father, I ask that you bless this time, that you bless this message, which I know that you already have. I pray that what will go forth will bring you glory. Father, I thank you for this country. I thank you for the land that you've given us to dwell in. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us men and women who have made the choice to defend it. Bless this time, Lord. Bless all that we do this morning. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't know if you've picked up on it yet or not. The message is going to be about veterans today. Happenstance, I guess. I don't know. If you have your Bibles with you, and I can't imagine why you wouldn't have because you're in church, but if you have your Bibles with you, could you please turn to Joshua 14? We're going to start in chapter 14, verse 10. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, am as strong this day as on the day of me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in." Let me ask you a question. Joshua, and you see the tendency here. I speak a lot about Joshua. Every time I get up here, it seems like I talk about Joshua. Just Joshua and I can't wait to get to heaven and meet him. Joshua was 85 years old, and he's saying that he's as strong as a 40-year-old. How many people believe that he was? Raise your hand. How many people believe that he was 85 years old, okay? There's no chance. But in his mind, being a veteran, being a warrior, being what God called him, a mighty warrior, not just a warrior, he called him a mighty warrior. That's who he saw himself as. Could he have been in that shape? Maybe. Could very well have been in that shape. As Brother Chris said, but God. But God. But that's not the point. The point is, in Joshua's mind, he was ready. Anybody that wanted a piece of him, he was ready. Any enemy come forth, and he was ready. That's a veteran. If you read the entire book of Joshua, after his 85th birthday, after they say that he was 85 years old, it doesn't show that he was engaged in any further battles. He lived to be 110. But it doesn't say specifically that he was engaged in any other battles past that. He divided up the promised land to the tribes. He had a lot of work to do. But it doesn't specifically say that he fought again after that. And I guess maybe that's why I base that, my belief on his mindset. Because I just love that. I love that mindset. In God, he believed that he could do anything, and God would be there to watch his back. It doesn't matter what his physical condition was. He knew that, but God, he could do anything. That, to me, is the point. He was ready. He was ready to give his life again for God and country. When you get a few veterans together, the conversation gets very interesting. Trust me. It gets very interesting. Because this one may have been in the Army. That one may have been in the Navy. Heaven help us. Somebody's got to go, I guess. My dad was in the Air Force. And there's this competition thing. I don't know if you've picked up on that yet or not, but there's this competition thing that the branch that you served in was the ultimate branch. Talk to a Marine, okay? Talk to a Marine. Booyah! I have a friend at work. He's a Marine. He's 78 years old. He's not driving a bus anymore. Thank you, Lord. He's not driving a bus anymore. He's an attendant. But he still runs marathons. 78 years old. Those Marines, I'll tell you, they just don't know when to give up. Amen. They'll start to tell stories and experiences and things that they went through. And if you're sitting there listening to it, it wasn't 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. Right. It was yesterday. It was yesterday. And that's what's going on in their minds. There's some things that I remember that It seems like it was just yesterday. It's so vivid. There's so much detail still there. And it was 42 years ago, 43 years ago. 43 years ago. And it just seems like yesterday. But as you listen to them, as you listen to the stories, as you listen to the tales, as you listen to the hype, you can tell that if they had the opportunity, send me. I'll go. It was a choice. 40-something years ago, it was a choice. And many people have made that choice to serve and defend. Joshua and Caleb, as I said before, were mighty warriors. And I think sometimes we take that phrase with not as much importance as we should. When the Bible calls them mighty warriors, I want to stop and think, what exactly did they do to elevate them to being a mighty warrior? What is that? Well, I've been, and I thought this was kind of interesting. I had to kind of bring this out to you. I came across this fella, and his name is David Goggins, okay, just on the internet. And I happened to come across him. And I guess what I would consider him to be a modern day, a current, approaching mighty warrior, okay? Approaching mighty warrior. Goggins, it's what he likes to be called because he doesn't see himself as being anything special. He's no different than anyone else. But if you look at some of the things that he's done, maybe you wouldn't agree with that. Goggins, after 4 years of being in the Air Force, decided that he wanted to become a Navy SEAL. That's after 4 years in the Air Force. He went into the recruiter's office and made that fact known to the recruiter. The recruiter looked up at him at 290 pounds. He's a power lifter, but 290 pounds. And the recruiter told him, it's not a matter of that I don't think you could complete the training. I don't think you could survive the training. So Goggins took that information, left, and came back to the same recruiter office 2 months later at 190 pounds. 2 months later at 190 pounds, went on to complete his Navy SEAL training. He's the only living person today, the only living person who has completed Navy SEAL training, Army Ranger training, and Air Force Special Ops training. The only living person. I can tell you all types of things that David Goggins has done. He's done ultra marathons. That's the 100-mile type, okay? He's done ultra marathons. He's done Badwater. Badwater is the ultra that goes through Death Valley. It's a 135-mile run through Death Valley. Just insane type things. Several tours in Iraq. And he did a tour in Afghanistan, where he was in a mission that went real bad. And he lost several of his fellow SEALs. Well, going through that experience is what changed his life. And at that point, he knew that he had to do something for his fellow SEALs, the ones that were lost. The reason that he does these ultras and all of these things that he does is to raise money for the children of the special ops personnel who lost their lives, to send them to college for degrees. And so that's why he does what he does. That's why he says he's nothing special. He's nothing different. And that's you can read more about David Goggins. Just kind of Google him or whatever. And he's a very interesting person. And I guess maybe that's who I kind of see as approaching a mighty warrior. There's not many of those people on the face of this earth, okay? And I'll fess up to you. The reason that I went there is because I love his model. And when I'm working out, when I'm in the gym or whatever, I'll always reflect on his model. I don't stop because I'm tired. I stop because I'm done. Gives you a whole new perspective on Mighty Warrior, doesn't it? You know, we've got to take that phrase so serious that that's what God referred to Joshua, Caleb, and many others, David. They were mighty warriors, biblical mighty warriors. And I just love that. I guess maybe that's why I just so enjoy reading about Joshua and what he's gone through and what he did and how God used him to take his people into the promised land. Isn't that cool? That is just so neat. Joshua's a great guy. Can't wait. Looking forward to meeting you. If you would, turn to Exodus 17. Verse 11. And it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became very heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua was in the battle. Joshua was the one that was wielding the sword. Joshua and his men. But Joshua couldn't win that fight. He couldn't win that battle without Moses, Aaron, and Hur. They never lifted a sword. They never threw a punch. But Joshua couldn't have won that battle without them. That's key. When I think about this event in the Bible, I think about those in the background. Today we're honoring veterans. But how many people were behind those veterans? I'm talking about moms and dads, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives that were there. All the things they did, the encouragement, the care packages, their prayers. Without that, without those things, you don't stand a chance. Sometimes I don't think we realize the support. Sometimes we don't understand the impact of those that are supporting the troops. I'll tell you, when I was overseas, in Vietnam, when I received a care package from home and opened it up, and here's this stick of pepperoni in there, it was like Christmas came early. Just like Christmas came early. I'll give you an example. When you're in a base camp, okay, and I please put up with me just as I go through some of this stuff, okay, because I'm a veteran and I reflect back and I start doing all this silly stuff. But when I was in Vietnam and you went outside of a base camp to service whatever it was or go to another location, you didn't know what you were going to eat. If you ran out of your C's, or if you weren't close to a village where you could eat with the villagers, so food could be somewhat sparse. One point we got canned meat. Now I'm not talking about canned meat. I'm talking about canned meat where they would put it in large 5-gallon containers and then seal them up. And you would live on that for several days. A unit would. Well, we opened it up and found out that the seal was no good in it, and the meat was green. I'm not exactly sure what kind of meat it was. Even to this day, I'm not sure what it was. But we found out that it was edible. So it kept us going anyway. Things like that happen. So when you open up that package, and it might not seem so much because you can just go down to Wegmans today and pick up a pepperoni or whatever. But when you opened up that package and saw this pepperoni, you knew that you had to protect that with your life. Because there were people that were going to take that from you. Well, they were going to take it from some people. Not from me. They say that there's a saying is that there's no atheists in a foxhole. Okay, great saying. There's no atheists in a foxhole. When I was in Vietnam, that chance is always there that you might not make it. And I wasn't a believer at the time, but the cry in my heart was, Lord, if I don't make it, and I know other people can relate to this too, Lord, if I don't make it, don't leave me here. You know, that's kind of a difficult thing because I went in the service at 17. And I went to Vietnam just after my 18th birthday. Now, stop and think about that, you know. Look at the 17-year-olds around you. We were no different. I mean, it's not like we were much more mature than they were, but I was just 17. There were a bunch of us. I wasn't the only one. There were a bunch of us. And that was the cry of my heart. Just, Lord, get me home. I thank God that he heard the cry of my heart. And I thank God that he heard the prayers of my family. because he did. Vietnam War, and I'll just talk about that because it's the one that I'm most familiar with, wasn't a popular war. Even today, it has some pretty negative connotations with it. I was listening to Fox News yesterday, and I was telling my wife, it kind of shocked me because the newscaster was interviewing a general about a new program that was being started that was going to provide additional training and education for the people that were coming back and people being released from service duty, preparing them better for the workplace. And I thought, you know, that's a phenomenon. I wanted to hear the story. And the newscaster, now I know that he didn't mean this. Bad choice of words, okay? But being from the era that I am, these things kind of strike you. To start the interview, he said, you know, he's talking to the general, he says, you know, things are different. Things have changed. It's not like it was during the Vietnam War. We like our vets. And, you know, they can be painful. But I remember one that came before me. And they spit in his face. They called him names. They made false accusations about him. Yet he went to the cross and died for each one of us. To hear a few bitter words or a few not well chosen words, I just have to reflect on him. And he gets me through. He gets me through. Pastor Lisa took some time this morning and prayed for healing, a continued healing, because the healing has been taking place for many, many years. Continued healing in my life. And I'm sure that may never stop. I'll always need those prayers. But I do appreciate the healing that God is doing in my life and any other vet's life. Let me get back to those that support. Because, as I said, it would be impossible. It would be impossible to go into the service and not be supported in what you're doing. It's very difficult. You need that lifeline. I didn't realize it until just a couple of years before my mother passed away. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know how the topic or the subject came up. But we started talking about, you know, when I was in the service. And I asked her, you know, what was it like for her? You know, what was going on here? And she told me, and it was the first time that she had ever done that. She had never mentioned it to me before. And I guess maybe being so thinking about myself and what I went through, I never asked her. But she said that while I was there, while I was in, on occasion, people would say very mean things, make statements about how terrible it was that we were there, and so on and so forth. And she would defend. My mom and dad will always defend me. And I never realized what they were going through here. It never hit me that they were coming under attack too. And they were there to defend, and they always did, always. Living with a vet is not easy, okay? Especially if you know me. I do have a tendency to fly off the handle from time to time, but I'm much better than I used to be. When I first got back from overseas, I was dating my beautiful bride, and we could be walking somewhere in a store, in a restaurant, whatever. And if a loud noise occurred, a backfire of a car or something like that, I might end up on the ground. She would be walking next to me, kind of like this, talking to me, look away, come back, and I'm down. And she would be like, you know, those things happen. So I tip my hat to my wife with putting up with me for all of these years. Living with that is not easy. She can even to this day see that I may drift off from time to time. Something might trigger that. And she'll do her best to pull me back in. But she's good at that. She can see it when nobody else can. What I would like to do, I'd just like to take this opportunity, okay? Because those that support are as important as those that serve. I would just like to recognize the spouses, the husbands and wives of vets, their children, and their brothers and sisters, and their parents. If you would, could you please stand up? If you are the spouse, brother or sister, son or daughter, mom and dad. This is the support staff right here. This is the support staff. I just want to recognize these people. And I want to say thank you. Job well done. Job well done. Thank you. Today we're celebrating, today and tomorrow. Today is actually Veterans Day. We're celebrating the veterans of our country. Some are here with us today. Some aren't. I agree with Pastor Casey that if you served, you gave some. You paid a price. There's a cost that goes along with that. So anyone who served has paid a price. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Every person that has served in the military has had to sign their induction form. When you sign that form, you've made that declaration that I will pay the price, if necessary, to maintain freedom. The phrase, all gave some gave all, is usually associated with the POW flag. But it stands true for every service member that's ever served. All gave some gave all. Okay, I've talked about Joshua and Caleb. They were mighty warriors, lions. But then there's the rest of us, okay? And we serve a purpose too. I wasn't anything special. I wasn't a hero. I didn't get a silver star. Didn't even get a combat infantryman's badge. I was a mechanic / heavy equipment operator. I was with the 168th Combat Engineers in Lai Kai, Vietnam. We supported the 1st Infantry Division. What does that mean? It means that when the Viet Cong or NVA would blow up an airstrip, we'd have to jump on our heavy equipment, go out there and fix it. If they needed a road built into a certain area, we would jump on our equipment, go out there and build the road. That's what we did. There were people that cooked. There were people that did all kinds of things. There were people that worked in a base camp most of the time that they were there. But they all served a purpose. And every one of them was in harm's way. Every one of them. It's a dangerous job. Being in the military is a dangerous job. It doesn't matter if you're offshore or you're onshore. It doesn't matter if you're in a combat zone or you never leave stateside. Being in the military is a very dangerous job. We read about the battles in the Bible. And even in victories, I can't imagine that no one was lost. You know that there's a price to be paid in those victories. In the battle with Amalek, I can't imagine that there weren't any losses on Joshua's side. There's a price to be paid. Freedom isn't free. As I said, it doesn't matter whether you were in the army, the Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, Air Force. That's neither here nor there. You did what God put on your heart, even if you didn't know that He was putting it on your heart. He gave us this land to dwell in. He gave us this land to live in. He gave us this land to defend. It's no different than the promised land. It's no different than what He did for Joshua. It's the same. Today, I'm honored to link arms and stand next to the veterans of the United States. And more close to home, those that are here with us today. If you're a veteran, could you please stand up? No, not yet. Not yet. Come on up. Can you guys come up? If you would, just come. Kind of come right out in here and face that way, if you would, please. Do you guys remember the highest rank that you achieved? This is yes. Your names, your unit that you're most closely associated with, and the location of that unit. Do you guys remember all that? This is yes. Very good. Ten shot. Specialist, 5th Class, Donald Charles Lippins. 168th Combat Engineers, Lai K, Vietnam.
Richard Reber, U.S. Navy, 1st Class, Seaman, Key West, Florida, Submarine Squadron 12.
Sergeant Richard Walsh, Shore Party Battalion.
Third Class Petty Officer working on a patrol ship just south of DMZ.
34th Air Division, Sergeant, and 6th Air Force.
At ease. I'd like to close in prayer. But after that, I would ask that you just stay seated for just a minute if you would. Okay? Because I would like to finish in a very, very special way. Father, I thank you for all that you do in this country. I thank you that you've given us this land to live in. We count it a privilege to be here. We count it a privilege to serve you. We count it a privilege to defend our country. We thank you, Lord God, for each one of these veterans that are standing up here. And we know, Lord, that they only represent all that have gone before us and all that will come after us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have put it on our hearts, that you have instilled inside of us the courage, the strength, and the capability of defending this nation. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you give us. We thank you for all that you do in our lives and in the lives and the people of our land. Right now, Lord, I just want to say thank you for each one of these men. I thank you for my friendship and relationship with each one. And Lord, continue to bless them and watch over them, keep them in health, and provide a long life for each one. In Jesus' name. Now, I'd like to give everybody the opportunity, okay? Because sometimes you don't have the opportunity. Sometimes it's just not available to you. But I would like to give you the opportunity of just coming up here and saying thank you. If you would like, shake their hands, give them a hug, and remember, they're just representing all those who've gone before us and are going to come after us. If you choose not to do that, there's no pressure, I understand completely. But what I would ask you to do is in the next couple of days, today or tomorrow, just take a couple of minutes, stop what you're doing, and just remember. Amen. Would you like to go from left to right? How would that be? If you would like to come up and say thank you, just kind of go in this way and go through a flow.